This is the Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge Watchman news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. Today is January 28th, 2021. Holocaust survivor Harold Gordon told Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly and me, Lou Caverly, before we interviewed him about his autobiography, The Last Sunrise, depicting his 11-year-old self's nightmare life at Auschwitz, quote, "I hear you people tell the truth," unquote.
Yes, Lou, that was one of the most meaningful votes of confidence we ever had. As our country wavers between choices to survive as a constitutional republic or go deeper, darker, into complete Marxist tyranny, we think our job to warn you, to help you stay strong in the Lord, is more vital than ever.
You can hear us on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at WWCR.com. Also on that short wave, 4.840 megahertz, and the program repeats on WWCR Saturdays at 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz.
You can also hear our program on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m.
And if you want to be able to use your phone to hear us, you can call in to kstartalkradio.com, where we can be heard Saturdays at 5 p.m., repeating Sundays at 10 a.m. The call-in number for K-Star Talk Radio is 605-562-5330. Once again, that's 605-562-5330, and ordinary telephone charges will apply. And now tonight's program, entitled Biden's Blitzkrieg. It seems, looking back to October 10th, 2019, that a sinister slogan, a harbinger of something horrible, has very nearly come true. I'm speaking of the demonstration Antifa terrorists held outside Target Center, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That planned event was called America is Canceled. Lots of violence and putrid water over the dam has happened since then. And America is very nearly canceled.
In shell shock, like Lou and me, many of you have no doubt had a lot of stress, even anguish, at the thought of the so-called January 20th Biden inauguration. We called it arrow to the eagle's heart. It is hard to imagine that was only 1 week and 1 day ago. We discussed betrayal, inaction, and failure of leaders to take on the mantle of greatness of such courageous, deserving, decisive men like Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death, George Washington, and Abraham Lincoln, plus nearer to our time, General and President Dwight Eisenhower, who used the Insurrection Act to desegregate Governor Faubus's Arkansas segregated schools in the 1950s. And now, living large, we saw Generals Michael Flynn and Thomas McInerney. Odds of any victory for the republic we love to survive seemed greatly diminished with Trump's farewell to the nation speech. But it may be that somewhere down the road, our military may yet save America. Men may still exist, like the much maligned but braveheart General MacArthur, who would have stopped China from becoming the communist nightmare power and world threat it is today. More about these Pentagon and other leaders tonight. We begin with the opening monologue that I have, and I'm excerpting part of it. You can find it at our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell others about our website and that they can go to our listening archives and hear the past important programs. If you want to spread the word about saving our American Republic, we ask you to do your part. And here is an excerpt from my monologue. The first 2 days, Biden's blitzkrieg breakdown of America, while Trump insiders still say victory lies ahead, January 21st, 2021. And some so-called insider reports that are around suggested that eventually the fledgling Biden administration did face some serious dangers to its continued existence through, number one, Trump's executive orders that essentially put the U.S. under emergency military rule. Two, Pentagon disapproval of an alleged withholding of some key, highly sensitive national security information from Biden's people. Number three, a disapproval shown by symbolic widespread inauguration day shunning by military turning their backs on Biden. And I will interject there. This is not in my essay, but we heard that these National Guard troops were just told to lie down and they had no cots or anything. They were on the cement floors. I think, were they in garages, Lou, or where were they?
That's what I heard, parking garages.
Parking garages. And then, guess what opened? The Trump Hotel opened and gave them some beds, places to sleep. We see the difference, don't we, in the two, I almost said regimes, but only one is a regime. That's Biden's. The other one was the lawful second term of President Trump that he earned. He earned because we all voted for him. Number four, top Pentagon brass, not all aligned with pro-China possible war plans to one day execute top U.S. military generals. And now we heard that that leaked out and that some of those generals became very concerned. After all, I think that many of those Pentagon generals do love America. And as I've said before, they have children and grandchildren. They don't want a nightmarish kind of existence here with China invading or with the leftist anarchy and chaos and violence that's coming again. Antifa didn't stop. They don't want this either for their grandchildren. Back to my essay, or is Trump just an example of what General MacArthur described? Old soldiers never die, they just fade away. Even as Florida banks viciously close Trump's bank accounts. And Lou, I think we've heard now it's not too likely that the Senate will vote to impeach Trump the second time, is it?
It doesn't look that way. I don't think they have the votes necessary.
I think we heard that, what, 45 were Republicans would not go along with this?
That's right.
This absurdity.
And I believe they need two-thirds of the Senate, which would be around 67 total. So it doesn't add up.
No, that's beyond absurd. Back to the essay, if the military is going to do a regime change, it is slow indeed compared with 2 days of blitzkrieg with Joe Biden. January 21st, National File, Alberta Premier. Oh, I'm going to interrupt my own essay to say that within hours of the first day, the inaugural day, Biden had put us back into the climate treaty, the Paris Accords. Oh, rah, rah, rah. So now, then January 21st, next day we're hearing this report from National File, Alberta Premier threatens sanctions against U.S. after insult of Biden shuttering Keystone Pipeline. January 21st, Gateway Pundit, Montana lawmakers move to protect girls' sports after Biden signs order forcing schools to let transgender biological males compete with them. Maskless Biden visits Lincoln Memorial after signing executive order mandating masks on federal property. Biden reinstates rule allowing transgender students to use bathrooms according to gender identity on day one of his presidency. January 21st, the Western Journal. Biden removes bust of World War II icon Winston Churchill from Oval Office, replaces it with tribute to Latino activist Cesar Chavez. Fauci announces the U.S. will rejoin the World Health Organization, promises to give them our money. On his first day in office, Joe Biden killed off an estimated 52,100 American jobs, executive orders including ending construction of the Keystone Pipeline and the end of the construction of the Trump border wall.
No matter, Elizabeth, about 52,100 jobs lost. Pete Buttigieg has the answer. This is from Big League Politics by Richard Moorhead, January the 21st. Pete Buttigieg, Keystone XL pipeline workers need to get different jobs. And they say, what new jobs exactly? Imagine being told to learn to code in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic and an economic recession. Biden's Department of Transportation nominee, Pete Buttigieg, did almost exactly that in Senate confirmation proceedings on Thursday, flatly stating that union workers employed in the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline need to get different jobs. President Biden terminated construction approval for the pipeline on his first day in office. Senator Ted Cruz questioned Buttigieg about the administration's plans for workers promptly swept out of a job. And these are Cruz's words, quote, "The answer is, I believe these are Buttigieg's words. The answer is that we're very eager to see those workers continue to be employed in good-paying union jobs, even if it might be different ones," unquote. Liberal assertions that unionized, well-paying, blue-collar jobs can be easily and swiftly replaced with employment in the alternative energy industry don't tend to pan out. California's government has struggled to deliver the so-called green jobs the state leaders promised upon implementing new fossil fuel regulations and restrictions, further eroding the state's middle class. California stopped counting the creation of green jobs in 2013, with many suspecting that the state was inflating the total. Biden's crackdown on the fossil fuel industry comes as many who rely on those jobs face economic insecurity and damaged prospects as a result of the recession. Trucking industry experts expect President Biden to crush small trucking companies with an impending spike in fuel prices, harming truckers that work as independent contractors. Expect much of the neoliberal, quote, learn to code, unquote, callousness throughout the next 4 years. It's easy to imagine simply making a bureaucratic imposed career change when you are connected to the levers of power of the Washington, D.C. establishment. And now we move right on to the Gateway Pundit. Wayne Root says unity will lead to death of America. And this is by Wayne Allen Root. Remember the old New Orleans Saints coach, Jim Mora, who went nuts at a press conference? Playoffs? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. Are you kidding me? You can quote me today. Unity, unity. Are you freaking kidding me? There's no unity. Biden can mouth the word unity all he wants. It's a lie. Democrats don't want unity. They want to censor us, ban us, purge us, wipe away American history like it never happened, and then intimidate us into meekly going along with it all. They want us kneeling and saying thank you while they destroy America and the American way of life. That's what they mean by unity. So you can take your unity and shove it where the sun don't shine. Got it? I won't even discuss the statements in the past week by liberals and Democrat politicians that sounded like acts of war. I won't get into how they drag conservatives, and of course white males, into the gutter. I won't get into the way they slandered us, attacked us, denigrated us, slimed us, aimed hate speech at us. I'm an SOB, that's son of a butcher. My butcher father had great common sense. He taught me to watch what a man does, not what he says. So I'll just point out President Biden's first acts as president. Biden had a record-setting first day in office. In a matter of hours, he killed between 70,000 and 100,000 jobs. He killed the Keystone Pipeline. He halted all oil and gas permits on federal land. He halted construction of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. These weren't just any jobs. These were high-paying, middle-class jobs in construction and energy. And ironically, these were union jobs. This is a disaster for the U.S. economy. Biden offered up a radical amnesty plan for every illegal alien in the United States. Biden wants to give every alien inside the USA, and a Harvard study says there are 23 million, a fast track to citizenship in only 8 years. This is a disaster for America in many ways. First, this radical amnesty plan rewards lawbreakers. The rule of law and U.S. Constitution no longer matter. We're not America anymore. We're Mad Max. Second, these will become 23 million new Democrat voters. Republicans will never win again. Third, they will take jobs from and lower the wages of American citizens. forth. These new citizens will bankrupt America as they all qualify for welfare, food stamps, free Obamacare, and 100 other welfare programs. Fifth, they will overcrowd and bankrupt our public schools and health care systems. Sixth, they will overwhelm the police, court, and prison system. Seventh, this will encourage millions of additional foreigners to invade our border. Soon, none of us will recognize America. This will be a country foreign to Americans. And lastly, Biden will have to dramatically raise taxes on American citizens and business owners to pay for this massive cost. Biden also froze deportation of illegal aliens scheduled to be kicked out of our country. How many American citizens will die because of illegal alien felons? Because these illegal alien felons were allowed to stay. Biden required non-citizens to be included in the census, thereby increasing funding to sanctuary cities and broke Democrat welfare states, while adding new Democrat congressmen to cities and states filled with illegal aliens. Biden reversed the Trump travel ban on passport holders from seven terrorist-friendly countries. Just what the American people desperately need, more visitors from Yemen, Somalia, and Iran. I can't wait. Biden rejoins the Paris Climate Accord and promises to add thousands of new environmental regulations. This will destroy manufacturing and energy companies, kill millions of high-paying jobs, and dramatically raise energy bills in the middle class. Biden's day one priority was forcing women's sports to allow biologically male transgender athletes to compete in girls' sports, use girls' bathrooms, and dress in girls' locker rooms. This is a declaration of war on women. Even if liberal mothers are too blinded by feminism, atheism, communism, and dumb political correctness to see it. Biden is not a moderate. He is either a radical Marxist out to destroy America, or a feeble old man with dementia being used as a puppet by George Soros, Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Ilhan Omar, and other radical extreme crazed America haters to destroy this country. But it really doesn't matter. Either way, he's leading us down the road to disaster. Ruin, misery, and poverty. He is going to turn America into Venezuela. This isn't unity. It's the destruction of America and everything that ever made it great. I'm not in unity. Are you?
Big League Politics, January 22nd, 2021, by Richard Moorhead. Release them all. Tucker exposes full Biden jailbreak order for illegal aliens. Biden is not only stopping deportations, but setting them loose. Tucker Carlson exposed a shocking internal memorandum sent to Texas Immigration and Customs Enforcement personnel on Friday night, revealing that the Biden administration has ordered a full jailbreak for illegal aliens detained in immigration custody. Quote, as of midnight tonight, stop all removals. This includes Mexican bus runs, charter flights, and commercial removals until further notice. All cases are to be considered. No significant likelihood of removal for the foreseeable future. Release them all immediately. No sponsor available is not acceptable any longer. The jailbreak measure may be Biden's most radical yet, following the administration's termination of all deportations from the United States for at least 100 days. An exception was made for illegal aliens arrested by CBP at the border and inmates being released from prisons and jails. However, the ICE memorandum makes it clear that aliens released from immigration detention facilities aren't subject to deportation. The wide-ranging jailbreak order almost certainly ensures that some of the aliens released from immigration detention will be violent felons, repeat offenders, and criminals linked to drug and human smuggling. The measure forces DHS itself to act as a sanctuary department, freeing criminal aliens to the streets, even when many of them may have pending arrest warrants that could land them in custody in county jails. Three-quarters of ICE arrestees have previous criminal records. These people are now being released into American cities and communities with no plan to either deport them or detain them for the foreseeable future.
CNN celebrates Biden inauguration by deleting its COVID death ticker. This is from WorldNet Daily News Services, January 23rd, 2021. And they have a little subtitle, doing everything possible to avert pinning blame on the new president. CNN has a new look this morning. No, it's not a change in the on-screen talent. All the familiar, lovable faces are still there. Nor has the network changed its logo. What's different is that, now that Donald Trump is no longer president, CNN has seen fit to deep-six its macabre COVID death ticker, which formerly appeared on the right-hand side of the screen. And it says the photo, I guess in the original internet version, it says the photo at the top of the page, which is a screenshot from last September, shows the now-defunct ticker. On his Fox News Channel program last night, Tucker Carlson offered up a plausible explanation of why the ticker has been dispensed with. Clearly, the reason was not that the graphic is no longer relevant. Deaths from the dreaded Wuhan virus continued to mount daily, as Joe Biden reminded us the other night in his short speech on the National Mall, marking a grim milestone, the 400,000 American deaths from the disease. So why was the ticker cut?
Well, we do wonder, don't we? And then we move on now to Big League Politics, Shane Trejo's article, January 24th, 2021. Suckers, unions that endorsed Biden for president are already having serious buyer's remorse. Certain unions that endorsed president imposed Joe Biden. I think that's an interesting phrase, don't you, Lou?
Yes, I do.
Almost call him imposter president, but president imposed Joe Biden. He was imposed on all of us with election voter fraud. Prior to his military installation in the White House on January 20th, are already having major buyer's remorse over the Democrat figurehead's job-killing policies. One of Biden's policies that has killed jobs is ending the Keystone pipeline. And I think, is that 40, Keystone 40 XL?
I know it's Keystone XL. I'm not sure about that.
You know, numbers. I was thinking in Roman numerals. Isn't that 40?
I think so.
That's what I was thinking. This is expected to kill at least 10,000 union jobs as President Trump's America First agenda is abruptly reversed. It is estimated that 42,000 union jobs may be eliminated, because of Biden's order. The unions are not happy with this immediate betrayal from a Biden administration that had claimed on the campaign trail they were going to build the nation back better. In revoking this permit, the Biden administration has chosen to listen to the voices of fringe activists instead of union members and the American consumer on day one. Mark McManus, the president of the United Association of Union Plumbers and Pipefitters, said in a statement Thursday, "Sadly, the Biden administration has now put thousands of union workers out of work. For the average American family, it means energy costs will go up and communities will no longer see the local investments that come with pipeline construction," he added. However, McManus only has himself to blame for these policies with his union backing Biden last year. They sold their country out, and now they're paying the price for their own lack of foresight and patriotism. Big League Politics reported on Biden's hostility to the working man on the campaign trail, as he represented foreign interests and the corporate elite with his candidacy. While campaigning in a new auto plant in Michigan, Joe Biden was met with some criticism concerning his stance on the Second Amendment from one of the local auto union workers. The unnamed auto worker told the former vice president and current delegate leader to be the Democrat nominee, "You are actively trying to end our Second Amendment, right?" To which Biden responded, "You're full of SH." After Biden told the union worker that he was full of SH, a female campaign staff member tried to move the former vice president along, but was met with, "No, shh, shh." Biden then went on to point his finger in the face of the auto worker, telling him that he doesn't need to own a, quote, AR-14, end of quote, and that he will slap the auto worker. The auto workers' concern over Biden's Second Amendment policy may have been based on Biden's announcement on March the 4th, where he said that anti-gun and failed presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke will be the one who leads his gun control effort. Now, we have to interject there. Hasn't he been picked for the Department of Transportation?
Yes, maybe they decided that was a little too hot to put
no,
in charge.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe not.
When the vaccine passport checkpoints and whatever checkpoints come in, he will have the goons ready at every stop, far down the road.
Yep.
You know, we have to use our imaginations. We hope that that was a drastic, unrealistic scenario. Back to the article. The union bosses took the Democrat blood money and sold their workers out. Union corruption is a big reason why so many American jobs have been sent offshore.
From the Gateway Pundit, Biden proposes $200 gun tax and firearm buyback program along with 13-page form that asks for fingerprints and photographs.
Oh, I wonder if there could have been anything more included on that grocery list. I think that pretty well put the little rats down in their basement.
I think it did, yes.
Biden coming up from the basement. It's like an evil genie coming out of a bottle, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, this is by Jim Holt, January 25th, 2021. During the 2020 campaign, Joe Biden announced he will force gun owners of, quote, assault weapons, unquote, to either sell their weapons to the government or register them under the National Firearms Act. According to Joe Biden's plan, in order to register a firearm, you will have to fill out a complicated 13-page application form and include a $200 gun tax for each firearm you own. Your fingerprints and a photograph of yourself will be required on the form. This will be a difficult program to enact for the Biden regime. In 2020, a record number of Americans bought guns. According to the National Shooting Sports Foundation, 8.4 million people bought a gun for the first time in 2020. Joe Biden would force semi-automatic rifle owners to either participate in a gun buyback program or register their firearm under the National Firearms Act, which requires the payment of a $200 tax. This would extend to AR-15s and other common household rifles. Those who do not comply would face up to 10 years in federal prison and a potential $10,000 fine. And Town Hall reported, this is yet another violation of Joe Biden's pledge against any tax increase on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. In fact, it would hit working-class Americans the hardest. As detailed on Biden's campaign website, this proposal would give semi-automatic rifle and high-capacity magazine owners two choices: participate in a gun buyback program or register the said gun and magazines under the National Firearms Act. This triggers the $200 tax. In order to register a firearm or a magazine under Joe Biden's plan, you have to send in a 13-page complicated application form with a $200 tax included, your fingerprints, and a photograph of yourself. In this way, the hurdles to legally own your weapon or high-capacity magazine go far beyond the expensive tax.
The Gateway Pundit, by Joe Hoft, January 25th, as soon as Joe Biden was sworn in, the Chinese regime started threatening Americans in Taiwan. As soon as the Biden administration was sworn in as president, China started showing its true colors again. Biden's pathetic response is to beg them to please stop. So much was accomplished during the Trump administration to force China to adhere to international rules regarding the theft of intellectual property and to address unfair trade with China. But as soon as the Biden administration took over, China was back to its same old ways. OAN reported yesterday, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican Arkansas, called out the Chinese Communist Party over their alleged attempt to blackmail the Biden administration. On the Senate floor Friday, Cotton urged Joe Biden to take action against our most persistent adversary. This came after China issued a slew of sanctions against nearly 30 Trump administration officials, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Cotton noted the sanctions were put in place just moments after Biden took office. In addition, on Saturday, Breitbart reported the U.S. State Department on Saturday said it was concerned by China's, quote, pattern of ongoing attempts to intimidate its neighbors, including Taiwan. We urge Beijing to cease its military, diplomatic, and economic pressure against Taiwan and instead engage in meaningful dialogue with Taiwan's democratically elected representatives, Ned Price, a spokesman for the department, said in the statement. Taiwan's defense ministry said China on Saturday sent 8 bombers capable of carrying nuclear weapons and 4 fighter jets into its air defense identification zone just southwest of the island. The ministry said China on Sunday sent another 16 military aircraft of various types into the same area. The ministry said Taiwan responded by scrambling fighters, broadcasting warnings by radio, and, quote, deploying air defense missile systems to monitor the activity. There was no immediate Chinese comment on Sunday. China is again bold and doing whatever it likes now that Beijing, Biden, is in the White House. China acts like they own the Bidens, and many would argue that they do. It's back to business as usual. And as a little postscript, on January 26th, Gateway Pundit also reported Joe Biden signed an executive order today that banned the term China virus. Gateway Pundit commented, it's not clear how this will help with the pandemic, but we wondered whether it would aid the Biden family, Chi-Com Holdings.
Next from Zero Hedge, Biden to halt oil, gas leasing on federal land, by Tyler Durden, Tuesday, January 26, 2021. As previously reported, and as was just confirmed by the Wall Street Journal, President Biden on Wednesday will announce that he is halting all new oil and gas leasing on federal territory, quote, setting up a confrontation with the oil industry over the future of U.S. energy, unquote. And since this effectively will suspend all fracking on federal lands, albeit once the extension period expires, this means that contrary to his representations, Biden is in fact banning fracking, despite his August 31st, 2020 proclamation that, quote, I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me, unquote. And I'll interject, we can see who the liar was.
Right.
Back to the article. As the Wall Street Journal reports, the Biden administration has drafted an order to impose the moratorium while it conducts a review of the federal oil and gas leasing program and what is potentially a first step toward his campaign pledge to end future leases. The order is expected to be included in a package of measures across government aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions and boosting land conservation, which is just another conduit to legalize trillions in taxpayer spending under the guise of, quote, fixing the environment, unquote, also known as the oldest grift in the book, yet one which liberals and virtue signalers fall for every single time. In addition to the moratorium on gas and oil leasing, Biden is expected to set a goal of protecting 30% of federal land and water by 2030, the Wall Street Journal sources said. The president is also planning to reestablish a White House Council on Science, that is, of science advisors, that was established during the Obama administration. And since this was leaked well in advance, for those who missed it last week, we published a report from Goldman analyzing the consequences of the Biden frack ban and giving us some excerpts that I'll read now. Oil stocks tumbled following yesterday's 1-2 punch of Biden energy news when first we learned that the Interior Department enacted a 60-day moratorium on issuing oil and gas leases that affects all federal lands, minerals, and waters, which was followed by news that Biden was set to fully suspend the sale of oil and gas leases on federal land, which accounts for about a tenth of U.S. supplies. Yet, while E&P companies sold off sharply in the news, one can argue that the decision wasn't exactly a surprise for the drillers themselves, because as the following chart from BOFA shows, federal drilling permits spiked into the year end as companies clearly anticipated a ban on drilling on federal lands. But it's not just speculation about what impact on drillers, and especially frackers, will be. Biden's intervention will have, and just as important, the question is, what to expect on the price of oil as a result? Well, overnight, Goldman's commodity team said that a lack of urgency from the U.S. government to lift Iranian sanctions and a push for larger fiscal spending support the constructive view on oil and gas prices. At the same time, it estimated that a $2 trillion stimulus over 2021-2022 would increase U.S. demand by 200,000 barrels per day, and stated that delays in a full return of Iranian production would support the bullish oil outlook. Goldman's summary, which one could say is obvious, quote, policies to support energy demand but restrict hydrocarbon production or increase costs of drilling and financing will prove inflationary in coming years, given the still negligible share of transportation demand coming from EVs and renewables. In short, just what Putin and the Crown Prince ordered. Initial orders by the Biden administration include restrictions on new North American hydrocarbon leasing, drilling, and pipelines. In turn, initial comments suggest no urgency in lifting sanctions with Iran. Combined with a push for greater fiscal spending and hence higher energy demand, these initial actions reinforce our constructive view on oil and gas prices. As we have argued, policies to support energy demand but restrict hydrocarbon production or increase costs of drilling and financing, these will prove inflationary in the years to come, given the still negligible share of transportation demand coming from EVs and renewables. That would be electrical vehicles, I'm sure. And some of their points. The Interior Department imposed on Wednesday a 60-day moratorium on oil and gas leases and drilling permits on federal lands, minerals, and waters. The additional orders to impose a moratorium on leasing activity in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and to revoke Keystone XL's border permit point to a similar regulatory shift. On their own, these actions do not point to a faster tightening of the oil market in 2021-22, as a ban on permitting would still leave a window of up to 2 years to drill from elevated outstanding permits. On our estimates, a $2 trillion stimulus over 2021-22 would, for example, boost U.S. demand by about 200,000 barrels per day. Such spending would further contribute to a weakening dollar, which itself lends support to oil prices. A faster vaccination rollout would in turn accelerate the rebound in jet fuel consumption, which still accounts for more than half of the remaining lost oil demand. Finally, the new administration's focus on reaching bipartisan policy support suggests a lessened incentive to quickly revisit the divisive Iran nuclear deal. Stronger demand and a slow wrap-up in Iran production would create a larger call, non-shale production, which will face higher regulatory costs, leading to further increases in long-dated oil prices. As we argued at the time, the rally to $80 BBL, I guess that's
barrels, something?
Maybe something to do with barrels, yes. Mm. Brent prices was necessary to bring high costs back in barrels to the global market by rail. Notably, the potential halt to Dakota Access Pipeline flows could recreate such conditions in coming years. The pipeline may need a new environmental impact study from the Army Corps of Engineers, which is led by a presidential appointee who could stay, that is to stop, its operations.
Some very important things to think about, and I'm sure that as consumers, we'll be looking at $4 gas again before long. The Gateway Pundit, what a joke. Joe Biden delivers a rambling speech on Buy American. Only 3.5 thousand tune in, but this guy totally had 81 million votes. How ridiculous. Dementia Joe gave a speech on Monday pushing his Buy American plan for America. Joe Biden has about zero credibility on this subject since he spent his last 40 years giving U.S. jobs away to the world, and especially China. It also is his weak attempt to sound like he's America first, like President Donald Trump. Once again, during his remarks, only 3,500 people were watching live. This is just a shockingly low number for a president who was just sworn in last week. The fake news media continues to insist Joe Biden is the most popular politician in U.S. history. Americans aren't buying the SH show. It's all a lie. The Gateway Pundit by Cassandra Fairbanks, January 25th. At least one-third of the nation believes Joe Biden stole the election, unchanged from December. One-third of the nation believes that Joe Biden won the presidency due to election fraud, according to a Monmouth poll released on Monday. The number is even larger amongst Republicans, 72% of whom believe that the election was rigged. The polling firm also found that 10% of America will never accept Biden as president. Now, I hope those people at the Pentagon are listening carefully. We heard that it has to get down to 30% approval before maybe something will happen. We hope and pray something will happen. This result is virtually unchanged from November, when 34% believed that fraud determined the outcome of that victory, Biden's victory. Or that Biden's victory would be overturned. Fully 72% of Republicans persist in believing that Biden's win is due to voter fraud. Among Americans who still believe Trump lost due to fraud, nearly two-thirds say it is time to move on, but one-third of this group, which equates to 10% of all American adults, say they will never accept Biden as president, Monmouth reports. Now, Lou, that's early on.
That's right. Usually presidents are very, very popular at the beginning of their administrations.
Yes.
Or regimes in this case.
That's right. So we think it will go lower here, you and I do.
Oh, yeah.
The article says approximately two-thirds of the people who believe the election was stolen still think that it is time to accept Biden and move on. The pollsters found that 54% said they were very confident in its integrity, up 10 points from November, while those who were not at all confident dipped slightly from 29% to 25% in the same period. We also know we can't trust the polls. That's very important to note. And we then look at big league politics. Shane Treo, this was January 22nd. The headline was, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene calls Biden a threat to national security, files impeachment resolution. Oh, I guess what's good for the goose is good for the other goose, huh? The ganders, both ganders. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican Georgia, has filed impeachment papers against president-imposed, I love that phrase again, Shane Treo, Joe Biden, giving Democrats a taste of their own medicine and rejecting their cynical and demeaning calls for unity. She made the announcement in a Twitter post on Thursday. President Joe Biden is unfit to hold the office of the presidency. His pattern of abuse of power as President Obama's vice president is lengthy and disturbing. President Biden has demonstrated that he will do whatever it takes to bail out his son Hunter and line his family's pockets with cash from corrupt foreign energy companies, Green said, according to a press release from her congressional office. President Biden is even on tape admitting to a quid pro quo with the Ukrainian government, threatening to withhold $1 billion in foreign aid if they did not do his bidding. President Biden residing in the White House is a threat to national security, and he must be immediately impeached, she said.
Tulsi Gabbard asked Joe Biden, have you declared martial law? Sounds like a lot of the stuff that we've seen happening overseas. This is by Joe Kovacs, published January 25th. With the National Guard now expected to remain in the nation's capital during the second impeachment trial of former President Trump through March, a former congresswoman is asking President Joe Biden if he has declared martial law. Tulsi Gabbard tweeted on Monday, quote, President Joe Biden, have you declared martial law? Because that is what it's starting to look like and feel like.
And, you know, Lou, we interject. We both wonder, is the razor wire still there? We don't know.
I wonder about
that. We've heard that the troops now are down to about 13,000.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And she went on to say, let our troops get back home to their families, unquote. The Democrat from Hawaii appeared on Fox News to complain how troops were mistreated, that's her very word, mistreated, being forced to sleep on cement floors and garages. She says the presence of the Guard in D.C. was a massive overreaction. Quote, the militarization of our nation's capital was not only unnecessary, to send that message both to the American people but to the world that somehow our nation's capital is under attack and threat of a siege of taking over. I just don't think that the message that we want, that's the message that we want to send to the American people and to the world, she said. Cabot, who was deployed to Kuwait from 2008 to 2009 as an Army military police platoon leader, asked, quote, "What is it that they are trying to accomplish now by creating an enduring presence? That sounds a lot like a lot of the stuff that we've seen happen overseas," unquote. Radio host Mark Stein, filling in for Rush Limbaugh on Monday, mocked the ongoing presence of the Guard in Washington, D.C. Quote, "It is impossible, I make that impressive, it is impressive to look at them in the parking garage to see all of these National Guardsmen in their camouflage," Stein said. "It's a little bit odd in a virtually treeless city." And he went on to say, "I don't understand why they don't have camouflage to blend in city landscapes such as 7-Eleven and Taco Bell." He said if the military were going to stay in the city, quote, "There's going to be some new designs in the camouflage," unquote.
He's always to be counted on for a lot of good humor.
That's right. Cabot also urged Biden to denounce U.S. Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, and Barack Obama's CIA Director John Brennan for treating half of Americans as, quote, "potential domestic terrorists," unquote. And she went on to say, quote, "Your leadership is needed now to denounce those like John Brennan and Adam Schiff, who are advocating for targeting half the country as potential domestic terrorists. Truly, unite the American people around our Constitution and the rights that are endowed to us by our Creator."
Then we have National File, Hot Mike. "Biden says, I don't know what I'm signing," signs executive order anyway. This was by Andrew White, January 23rd, 2021. In the video, this is part of the headline, an unidentified person told Biden to sign it anyway. So he did. Joe Biden said, "I don't know what I'm signing," on camera, as he proceeded to sign an unknown executive order. In the video posted to BitChute, an unidentified person told him to sign it anyways. This comes amid nationwide concerns over Biden's apparent cognitive decline. The video shows Biden, without a note of humor, say that he has no idea what executive order he is signing. Another person then gestures toward Biden's left hand. Biden then proceeds to sign it anyway. This is not the first questionable situation we've seen in the first 3 days of the Biden administration. As seen in another video on Inauguration Day, Biden robotically stated aloud, "Salute the Marines," as he and his wife, Jill, entered the Capitol. Biden never actually saluted the Marines, as National File reported. The awkward interaction appears to have been prompted by someone communicating with Biden via earpiece, National File reported, which has become a staple of the 78-year-old Biden's public appearances due to numerous gaffes and instances of erratic behavior. In another puzzling video from the Biden White House on Wednesday, an unidentified individual was seen talking about a plea sentence before the audio immediately cut off. Since then, the video has been unlisted from the official White House YouTube channel, as National File reported. In the YouTube video, which has since been unlisted by the official White House channel, so only users possessing a link to the footage can view it, the bizarre audio exchange happens roughly 1 hour and 16 minutes into the press conference. As Biden continues to drone on about his COVID team appointments, an unidentified male voice cuts in and says, "So just so you know my life after waiting to do this, I just agreed to a plea sentence for an unintelligible guy." As many blame Biden's stutter for his increasingly frequent gaffes, the nation is left wondering exactly what Biden meant when he said he would lead an effective strategy to mobilize Trunalumunum Aprazur if he were elected president of the United States.
From Big League Politics, Texas Attorney General sues Biden administration to stop unlawful open border policies. Ken Paxton is fighting back. This is published on January 22nd by Shane Trejo. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announced on Friday that his state is filing a lawsuit to stop President-imposed, that's that good word again, President-imposed Joe Biden's administration's open border policies that are being enacted at breakneck speed. Said Attorney General Paxton, quote, "And one of its first of dozens of steps that harm Texas and the nation as a whole, the Biden administration directed DHS to violate federal immigration law and breach an agreement to consult and cooperate with Texas on that law. Our state defends the largest section of the southern border in the nation. Failure to properly enforce the law will directly and immediately endanger our citizens and law enforcement personnel." DHS itself has previously acknowledged that such a freeze on deportations will cause concrete injuries to Texas. "I am confident that these unlawful and perilous actions cannot stand. The rule of law and security of our citizens must prevail," Paxton added. Paxton is accusing the Biden administration of violating the U.S. Constitution by suspending deportations of illegal aliens. He says that this illegal policy shift will hurt Texas citizens by leaving them vulnerable to dangerous third world migrants more apt to commit violent crimes. Big League Politics has reported on Biden's unprecedented push for amnesty, which could mean the final death blow for the U.S. Republic. President-elect Joe Biden will introduce amnesty legislation for the more than 11 million illegal aliens residing in the United States on the first day of his presidency, according to the pro-illegal immigration activists. The legislation will contain a means to provide citizenship to nearly every alien in the country, which they'll receive through a glorified paperwork process. It's expected that the illegals who will qualify for amnesty will be as many as 11 to 20 million, with estimates varying widely over the number of aliens in the United States. Biden has pledged to forego deportation of any alien in the country, with the exception of those convicted of felonies. Biden is likely to sign a glut of executive orders providing leniency to illegal aliens, including an extension of the DACA program that's been continuously litigated throughout Donald Trump's presidency.
And, you know, we'll interrupt there to say that we hope more men like Paxton will stand up so we have a chance of stopping this American downfall. And before our program concludes, we must get back to the situation from last week about the COVID vaccine aftermath. Now, here's another case, Joe Kovacs, and this was published January 24th. American dies hours after COVID vaccine. Officials in California are investigating the death of a local resident who died just hours after receiving a vaccine for the coronavirus. The Placer County Sheriff's Office made the announcement on Facebook Saturday evening, but details were sparse. And they said the individual was administered a COVID-19 vaccine several hours before their death on January 21st, 2021. And we'll interrupt to say we've all heard about Hank Aaron now. He died after getting the vaccine, I think a couple weeks later maybe. The vaccine was not administered by Placer County Public Health. Back to this other case. There are multiple local, state, and federal agencies actively investigating this case. Any reports surrounding the cause of death are premature, pending the outcome of the investigation. And the local health department had issued a statement reading, "Our thoughts are with the family of the deceased. We take these instances seriously," and so forth. They go on with their song and dance. And we did not get any indication in this article which vaccine this had been. But the article there goes on to say the latest case comes on the heels of reports across the U.S. and world raising questions about the safety of the COVID vaccines. Earlier this month, hundreds of people were sent to the emergency room after getting vaccines for the coronavirus. Last week, Norway expressed increasing concern about the safety of the Pfizer Incorporated vaccine on elderly people with serious underlying health conditions after raising an estimate of the number who died after receiving inoculations to 29, according to Bloomberg News. Also last week, California health officials recommended pausing the use of a batch of Moderna COVID-19 vaccines after a San Diego vaccination site observed a few suspected allergic reactions to the shot. And there's so much with this issue that we can never begin to tell it all. But back on October 3rd, Zero Hedge had an article about microchip, DARPA biochip to save us from COVID can control human DNA. Now, this is something very serious that they what they have found out whenever they did this. And I'll skip down to this DARPA project. The revolutionary breakthrough came to a Canadian scientist named Derek Rossi in 2010, purely by accident. The now-retired Harvard professor claimed in an interview with the National Post that he found a way to reprogram the molecules that carry the genetic instructions for cell development in the human body, not to mention all biological life forms. These molecules are called messenger ribonucleic acid, or mRNA, and the newfound ability to rewrite those instructions to produce any kind of cell within a biological organism has radically changed the course of Western medicine and science, even if no one has really noticed yet. As Rossi himself puts it, the real important discovery here was you could now use mRNA. If you got it into the cells, then you could get the mRNA to express any protein in the cells, and this was the big thing. Now, do we really understand? This is not really, someone said, a vaccine, but it is something to inject a different foreign protein into our body, a whole different process. And so, you know, there's this delivery system that works there together to get this into our bodies. And so once firmly implanted into the body, human cells are at the mercy of any mRNA program delivered via this substrate. They had a substrate that they could use to get it in, unleashing a nightmare of possibilities. It is perhaps the first true step towards full-on transhumanism. This is really, really scary. The sensor has two parts. One is a 3mm string of hydrogel, a material whose network of polymer chains is used, and they insert this under the skin with a syringe. And then there's this engineered molecule that sends a fluorescent signal outside of the body when the body begins to fight an infection. The other part is an electronic component attached to the skin. And they go on, it's like a blood lab on the skin that can pick up the body's response to illness before the presence of other symptoms, like coughing. So this is kind of the merging, you see, of the DARPA biochip that may happen here. But right now we have to worry just about the effects of this mRNA. This is kind of an unprecedented thing into our bodies. So if you want to warn friends and tell other people about some of the warnings you've heard here, tell them to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com and go to our listening archives and read our blogs there, DividedKingdomRadio.com. We thank you, listeners, for being with us. We thank you for your prayers. We need your prayers, support for us. Not just money, support against Satan and the evil powers who are bombarding us. God bless you. Good night.